Listen to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And you're tweeting, aren't you?
I was playing on Instagram. We have new followers. I was really excited. Yay! I like new followers.
Instagram. Okay,
yeah.
So here's a fun question.
Oh, boy.
For those who don't know much about Instagram. I mean, Instagram sounds like pictures.
It is pictures.
To me. How do you translate radio and broadcasting to pictures?
We take pictures of people in studio and all the weird stuff that we do in here that nobody can see.
Weird stuff.
I shouldn't say weird.
All the buttons I push, all the screens in front of us.
Yeah, the beautiful Christmas tree that's up behind me.
This is true.
Yeah.
The giving tree.
The giving tree.
It is. We are in the second week in Advent.
Yes, we are.
And in the preparations for Christmas as well.
Mm-hmm. Lots Rose of- Sunday is this coming Sunday. I love the rose vestments.
Sunday, yes.
They're my favorite.
Yes. What is that? Joy yeah. Sunday. Yeah. So in deep into the season of Advent, preparations for Christmas and all kinds of festivities, lots of good stuff here at KFUO during Christmas as well, during those 12 days of Christmas. We have some major works of music to share.
We do.
During that time. I'm excited about that.
Pretty cool.
Two great topics today on deck. Continuing our series with Deaconess Heidi Gaiman on wellness, and also checking in with our friends at Bethesda Lutheran Communities, particularly supporting individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities through the holidays. You know, isolation can be an issue that many of us face during the holidays, but more so for those with disabilities, for them and or for their families as well. So we're going to talk with our friend Deaconess Kim Trombley at Bethesda. So we have two deaconesses on today.
Yay!
Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. And joining us today, Deaconess Heidi Gaiman, licensed clinical social worker and the chief writer behind all the great wellness materials at lcms.org/wellness. Is that right? Did I get it right?
That is.
Yeah, look at that. /wellness. That's important. This is like, if you get nothing out of this broadcast, get that website out of
wellness.
It.
/wellness. I had it in my notes last week. Apparently, I did not include it in my notes today, and I've been there numerous times, but I think I saved the link, and so now I don't have to remember
really
what it is. Okay, lcms.org/wellness. And discouragement is the topic on the table today. Mm-hmm. No one ever faces discouragement, though.
Never.
Because it's all unicorns and rainbows. Who do we talk about that with?
That was Kelly Schumacher.
Aha, uh-huh. Unicorns and the life of an artist. Yes, we never face discouragement. I'm being facetious. So how do we face discouragement just in our Christian vocations? We'll talk about church workers and ministry families here in just a little bit, but just let's talk briefly about discouragement in all of our Christian vocations.
Oh, sure. I think, like, especially, you know, the thing that comes to mind, and it's funny because you were just talking about, we never face discouragement. And I think that's the message when we are Christians, we think we're supposed to have, you know, we think we're supposed to hold that inside of us. And we're, because we have the joy of the Lord, right? Like, we over apply scripture. And we think that discouragement is a mark of a lack of faith. And that's just not true at all. And once we get into reading the Bible in its fullness, you know, and in its context, we see a very different picture. We know that the joy of the Lord is that kind of supernatural Holy Spirit gift inside of us that we have. But we are going to feel, you know, our emotions and our experiences are going to feel much different sometimes. You know, we're going to have those momentary times where we feel, or even sometimes kind of long seasons of discouragement. And God places people all over scripture. This is why the narratives of scripture are so helpful. There's so much discouragement because the world is full of sin, and it has been since that Garden of Eden, you know, that first apple or first fruit in the garden. And so I think we look around us and we think the world is, you know, getting worse, and it's like very just discouraging when our relationships aren't going well. And I mean, you could just, you know, pile it on top and top and top. And the reality is, there's nothing new under the sun. Everyone since the dawn of, you know, Eden has been discouraged in their time. And that's okay as Christians to admit it. You know, that's what I want people to do, is just admit it, because that's where Christ really can tend to us.
Mm-hmm. How is this? How does this look for church work families? How is it significant in the lives of church work families?
Yeah, I think especially in church work, it's tempting to put on the mask of it's okay, I'm fine, you know, and like Andy said, we all do this. It's in all Christian vocations, but I think in church work especially, it's a little bit of a public profession, if you will. And because we're trying to share the gospel of hope, we don't want to be the person who's like not bringing hope into the room, you know? And so I think that that happens. And then the family members too, some things need to remain private. And it's really easy to get isolated. And I actually think that isolation is probably the number one cause of discouragement, because we can feel like frustrated with ministry and like we're not seeing fruit, I guess, and we can be really frustrated by that. But at the same time, when we're not isolated, when we have people to share that journey with and to understand that we're all in the same place, we're all, you know, sharing the word together, the discouragement lifts so often because of that community and connection. And so that, I would say, is huge for church work families. It's just very easy to be isolated, unfortunately.
Well, I would think more so, even more so for pastors, mm-hmm. well, or for anyone in a caring profession where confidentiality is you know, significant to their service to others, mm-hmm. you know, especially for pastors with confession and absolution and bearing the burden that others, you know, of others, of those they serve, that I'm sure could create some feelings of isolation.
Yeah, you know, people who are caregivers tend to forget that they also need care. Mm-hmm. And so we need those father confessors, we need mentors, we need friends. And that's not always hard to, or not always easy to find, if you will. I mean, we think, oh, these things just happen, will just happen upon people in our life that can serve those roles for us. And it's not like that. It takes a lot of work and effort and a lot of prayer before God to bring those people into our lives.
We've talked about the, you know, the professionals, the church workers. What about other members of the family? How does discouragement look different for each member of a church worker family?
I think that people in families, we forget that the family is really kind of a member in itself. You know, I like to talk about marriage in particular because it's one flesh as a member of the church. And families, if you can picture it as that one unit, they bear the weight of one another's stuff. And they also bear the joy of one another. And so you can easily, if one member is discouraged, you know, the other members are going to feel it. And so it kind of passes back and forth in this kind of strange way that God sets it up so that we are connected to one another. We rejoice together, but we also suffer together in families as the little church. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that the family bears the weight, particularly if the worker is struggling, because church is supposed to be this really safe place. And so it's just really, you know, we could probably talk about this forever, and this would be like a whole like doctoral dissertation, I think, on the reality of what the church is and looks like for the church work family, because, you know, where is God's representation for them and how it interacts and all that stuff. And so I think there's a lot of really deep theological questions in that simple question, but the at the bottom of it is that the family will always suffer and rejoice together. And so if one member suffers, we all suffer.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the suffering together and being the body of Christ, you mentioned earlier, part of it, this is admitting the discouragement. And how does that allow our brothers and sisters in Christ to kind of rally around the people that are discouraged and to allow them to care for the body of Christ?
Right. So I have a therapeutic exercise for listeners and for you, Andy and Sarah. Are you ready? Here we go. Everyone say it after me. Help.
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 Help. Say it out loud again. Help.
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 It's so hard to say for us. Like, we don't like to say it. And I know that sounds really silly, but laughing about it will actually help it stick in our brain. So that's one thing I like to do with church workers, because the reality is, like, just practice saying the word help. And it can be about the dumbest, mundane things, you know. Help me get something off the shelf, or, you know, help me get a glass of water, whatever. But the reality is, like, we need help. We all need help. And to say it out loud, for whatever reason, is scary. And so I think that the discouragement comes in, and then it pushes help even further down in our vocabulary. And so just being able to say it out loud and say to safe people, and finding those safe people both in our churches, and especially when the church maybe doesn't feel safe for us, finding other people in our lives who share Jesus with us that can be help for us is really important for fighting discouragement and asking the Lord for help.
Okay, I know I'm supposed to say help and ask for help. The Lord has given us to bear one another's burdens. But as a guy, particularly, I think saying...
Oh, don't throw down the guy card,
okay,
Andy.
Well, maybe it's true for the gals, too. But as a guy, saying help is that a... You know, it feels like a sign of weakness. Oh, he's weak. He needs help. He can't do it himself. I'm not alone in this.
I know. I have a theological hypothesis about this, that because we've used the word helper so much in the marriage vocation for the woman, and I think there's some misreading actually in Genesis 2 of that. Now, don't over-imply that in our, like, you know, 30 seconds on the radio here. But at the same time, I think that because of Ephesians 5, we know that the help goes back and forth in many ways. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, understanding at a very theological level what help means between man and woman, and in our role as men in this world, our role as women in this world, is kind of important, you know?
Mm-hmm. I feel like we need another episode on that down the road, you know.
It's a big one. Yeah, it's a big one. Yeah.
It is. Deaconess Heidi Gaiman, she's a licensed clinical social worker and the chief writer behind and produces videos as well. Mm-hmm. All those great videos. You can find those at lcms.org/wellness. Thank you so much, Heidi, for being our guest in this series. We'll have more to come in January.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Coming up in just a little bit, check in with our friends at Bethesda. How can we support individuals and families experiencing developmental and intellectual disabilities through the holidays? More Coffee Hour in just a moment. I'm Andy Beats.
I'm Sarah Golseth.